So I'd like to ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 today, and I would encourage you to turn there. I'd encourage you maybe, if you'd like, if you have a smartphone, zoom in on a QR code, because I'm going to read the passage to you, but then we're going to refer back to it, use it almost, this isn't the exact right phrasing, but use it as a tool so we can understand how to gain wisdom and how to respond to life situations. So again, Proverbs chapter 3 is where we'll be. There's a Bible app event, YouVersion Bible app event for this. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. You can use whatever translation you'd like, but I'm using that one this morning. So, you know, that time of year is coming up when every home that has a kid who goes to school is going to hear for the next 180 days of school, someone is going to say three words. Don't forget your, right? It happens, right? Don't forget your Chromebook. Don't forget your gym clothes. Don't forget your project. Don't forget your lunch. Don't forget this. As they're heading out the door to get on a bus or to hop in the car and ride to school or to walk to school, don't forget this. This is really important for you to remember. The passage we're looking at today says that kind of thing, and we're going to look at that in a few moments. This is the back-to-school sermon, and it's written with students in mind. I'm thinking of all students, but I'm especially thinking of students who are maybe going into senior high, and even those who are in college specifically. And I want to talk to you this morning the way that I talked to, or wish I had talked to, my daughter when she was, say, going into 10th grade, or my son when maybe he was going to Taylor University or Carnegie Mellon when he went there. And I want to talk to you like I talked to them. Now, I want to say, if you're a student, don't check out. Don't say, oh, this isn't for me. I'm sorry, if you're not a student, don't check out. Don't say, oh, this isn't for me. This is for students. I'm just going to relax today. Because I believe that the concepts we're going to be talking about here are for anyone who's simply moving forward through life. And I think God has things that he would want to say to all of us here. My desire, as I'm speaking to you today, is really to help you to stand firm in your faith in Christ and stand firm as you're moving forward through life. And this issue of standing firm, it's a real issue because you are being formed every day of your life. There are forces, there are people who are trying to form you intellectually, emotionally, regarding mental health, regarding your spiritual condition, every day of your life. I can remember years ago, a buddy of mine, his name was John, he had a son named Kevin, who was interested in becoming a chef, and Kevin eventually did become a chef. But I can remember one day, John told me this story. He said, so we're watching this cooking show with this Cajun guy cooking this stuff. And I think John's going to tell me about a great recipe because John liked to cook as well. And while we're watching, he's making this hot, smoky, spicy stuff. And out of the blue, Pastor Steve, this cook started speaking about the Bible. And as he was talking about the Bible, it was as though he had never read it. And yet he talked like he was an expert on it. And he said this, I believe in all religions are the same, and God's going to take us all to heaven in the end. Okay, how was my Cajun accent? Could have been worse, couldn't it? Couldn't have been worse? Okay. I believe all religions are the same, he said, and God's going to take us all to heaven in the end. And my buddy, who knew better than that, John, said to me, Steve, I couldn't believe it. Think about this. Here I am with my son on a Saturday morning in our home, in my living room, and on my TV, we're learning to cook Cajun, and the guy on the screen is trying to convince us to adopt a view of God that is simply unbiblical and inaccurate. And Steve, it worries me how his words are words that could subtly enter my son's mind and even enter his heart and cause him to lose his grip on his faith. Yeah. Yeah. You are being formed every day of your life, every moment of your life. And that formation, it comes in surprising environments. It can come while you're watching cooking shows. It could come while you're riding a school bus. It could come in the huddle between plays. It could come when you're sitting in your classroom. It could come in the band room, hanging out in a dorm, practicing a concert, practicing for a musical. You're being formed as you move forward in life. And again, my desire is to help you stand firm in faith as you move forward through life. Now, when I look at our passage today, we're going to read Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, and then 21 through 35. As I look at that, I see that Solomon, who probably wrote these words, that he is trying to help his own children to stand firm. And he says, don't forget. But he doesn't say, don't forget your lunch or don't forget your gym clothes. What I hear him saying is, don't forget what you've learned about God. Don't forget to make him the centerpiece of your life. Stand firm in your faith as you move forward. So let's read it. Again, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Let's start at verse 1. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now skip down to verse 21, please. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You can lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Don't plot harm against your neighbor. For those who live nearby, trust you. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done you harm. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. Wow, we could probably have like 6 months worth of sermons from that one chapter, couldn't we? Don't worry, we're not going to, at least not in the next 30 minutes. But what I do want to do is I want to pull from this passage three pieces of counsel that you can take back to school or you can simply take as you move forward in life. And the first one has kind of a creative way of saying it. Don't set your OS for automatic updates. I'm like, what? Don't set your operating system to receive those automatic updates. Now, I'm not talking about computers, obviously. If you have a computer, it frequently wants to get an update. The manufacturer of the operating system says, you need this update, here it is, take this. And generally speaking, those updates are important. Every now and then I bump into someone who says, I never update my phone or my computer, I don't trust them with that. They wrote the operating system that's already there, dummy. You gotta trust them. So yeah, those updates are often security related, you need them. But in 2024, I switched a switch off in my Windows update. You can see it on the screen there. It's a switch that says, get the latest updates as soon as they're available. Be among the first to get the latest non-security updates, fixes, and improvements as they roll out. I turned that off in 2024. The reason I turned it off is because that year was a year of big problems for PCs in the IT industry. In March of 2024, Microsoft pushed a Windows update that caused some computers to go into a boot loop. Do you know what a boot loop is? It's that thing on the back of your boot you pull it up with. No. A boot loop is where your computer, you know, you turn it on, it goes, you hear the fan, and then you hear beep, right? There's a post, beep, it does that. And then the Windows logo comes up, and then beep, Windows logo comes up, and then beep. If you've ever been in a boot loop, it's like something off the Twilight Zone. There's no getting out. And what key do you push to get out of that? How do you fix that sort of thing? That was just one of several problems in 2024. It was in July when a company named CrowdStrike sent updates to PCs around the world, and the update they sent was buggy, and it shut down over 8 million computers. Now, you think to yourself, well, worldwide, that's not that many computers. But over 5,000 flights were canceled. And one airline said, this is costing us $5 million per day for 5 days in a row. Yeah. It was $500 million in 5 days it cost them. And the health care and banking losses were estimated to be upwards of $2 billion. It's a global phenomenon. And what I thought to myself is, well, I don't have $2 billion to lose. But if those guys and their IT department get caught in this, what chance do I have? I mean, if it's taking them so much time they lose $2 billion, I'll probably not get that Windows computer to boot again until 2089, you know, right? And then something else happened. In October of 2024, Windows 11, Microsoft pushed their 24H2 update, and some businesses reported half of their computers shut down. There's a bright blue screen of death to tell you, have a great day, you know? And so I thought to myself, those updates, it seems like that would be a good thing to have, the latest improvements as they roll out. But they look good, but they were bad. So I turned that off because I realized it's not really necessary for me to have the latest and greatest and newest thing. I'm going to let someone else fix that. I'm not going to be their beta tester. I'm going to let someone else try that out. And if it works for them, then I'll install that later. I was just kind of cautious about, do you install those new updates right away? It's that way in the computer world. It's that way in your life too. It's that way at school. Because you will encounter classmates. You will encounter teachers, professors, who have opinions, new perspectives that may make you feel like your old belief systems, the things that you were always taught, your old operating system is just outdated. And they will want to push those opinions on you like Microsoft pushes a new version of their operating system. Be careful. Be careful. Don't automatically download everything you hear right into your system, right into your soul. Examine the teaching that you're hearing. Examine what it is doing to the hearts of those who have already bought into it. And compare it with what the Bible says. Watch others who have adopted it and say, how's that working for them? Before you jump on board with that. Think about what you've been taught in the past. Hold on to the truth. Verse 1, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commandments in your heart. So that's number one. The first piece of counsel, don't set your OS to automatic updates. Don't accept everything you hear. The second piece of counsel is this. Consider the source. Consider the source. You know, when a new perspective is offered to you, something that would change your view of life, of God, of faith, think about who is presenting it to you, because you might fall into this trap that says they know a lot, so they're probably right. But as you go through life, you're going to realize that a person may know a lot, they may be well educated, but education does not make you wise. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. At the university, I had professors who were brilliant, brilliant professors. And they would insist there's no God. And they would chide you if you ever showed that you were interested in God. They would try to mock you. They would try to wobble you. You know what I mean? Like to wiggle you around and make you fall. Brilliant professors. There's no God. And I had brilliant professors who said, yeah, there's a God. Not only is there a God, his son, Jesus Christ, has come and died for my sins, and I've experienced the transformation that comes with that. I'll never forget walking into the Alliance Church, and there is my calculus professor from the University of Pittsburgh. Do you know what calculus is? It's a very evil thing. It's a high form of math, and my calculus professor walks in there, and I'm like, whoa, professor, what are you doing here? He said, I'm teaching this class. It's nice you finally showed up. Yeah. And so you have to understand this. The validity of someone's message is neither validated nor invalidated by their educational status. You got that? Just because they have a lot of knowledge doesn't mean they have wisdom, because wisdom, according to the Bible, comes from God. In fact, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter 9 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And so wisdom, whose foundation is the fear of God, comes from an awareness of who God is and what he desires, what he requires. That's where wisdom comes from. Now, I want to do an exercise with you. This is why I ask you to open your Bibles, because we're going to look at several of these verses, and we're going to see how they answer questions we might encounter as we move forward through life, whether it's in a school setting or just simply in your everyday life. I want you to look at Proverbs 3, verse 7. Read that verse. It says, "Do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." So, don't be impressed with human wisdom. And ask yourself, does what I am being taught, does it lead toward good? Does what I am being taught turn me away from evil? Look at the verse again. "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." If what you're learning opens the door to evil, draws you toward evil, then just set that aside. Let's do another one. Let's look at verse 21. "My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they refresh your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace." So ask yourself, does what my classmates are advocating, does it fit with common sense? Does it refresh my soul like God refreshes my soul? If I participate in this, well, I feel like I feel after Ben's Link, very bloated from all the food I have eaten, and very filled with the Spirit from the teaching and the camaraderie I've experienced. Does it refresh my soul? Let's look at another verse. Let's look at verse 23. "Speaking of that which is wise," things that are wise, it says in verse 23, "they keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly." So, the kind of question to ask about a new teacher is, does what I'm learning keep me up at night? Or does it bring me health? Does what my roommate is suggesting fill me with the peace of God? Or does it disquiet my spirit? Does this perspective let me know that there's a God who loves me and gave himself for me, and he is in control, and I can trust him so I can sleep soundly? Let's do one more verse, verse 34. "Is what I'm learning marked by humility, or is it presented in arrogance?" And by the way, God absolutely despises arrogance. Take a look at verse 34. "The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame." Pride never honors God. Does this speaker, does this situation, does this seem to be just marked by an overflow of pride, or do I sense humility there? Because Psalm 147:6 says, "The Lord lifts up the humble, he casts the wicked to the ground." Okay, so a couple pieces of counsel. Let's just review the first two. The first one is this: don't set your OS for automatic updates. Compare what you're learning with what you know before you receive it. Number two, consider the source. When someone challenges your core beliefs, consider who they are and hold what they're telling you up against the Word of God in the light of the Word of God. Let me give you a third piece of counsel. It is this: do the math. Do the math. And by the way, it's not calculus, so good. I loved calculus. I took that class more than any other class, over and over and over and over. Who's pretty good at math here? Put your hand up. Yeah, you're not falling for that, are you? Okay, Milton is. Okay, so this is the math question. 2 + 2 is greater than or less than 3 + 3. It's pretty easy, isn't it? It's almost insulting that I would ask you that, right? Yeah, we all know that, okay? Let me give you one that's even easier. Ready? Put it on the screen. My wisdom is greater or less than God's wisdom. Wow, you're right. That is even easier, Steve. Of course I'm wiser than God. No, my wisdom shrinks in comparison to his wisdom. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you about this issue because sometimes people feel like the argument that's been presented to me is one I can't answer, so it must be right, or there's something wrong with me because I can't answer it. So follow me through this next 5 minutes as closely as you can. There are times when things happen in your life that you cannot explain. You can't lean on your own understanding. Some of those things are good. I cannot believe that girl said I could take her to the prom. I am taking her to the prom. She is so much out of my class. And all the other guys, they're not going to believe this. And she could be with any guy, and she's going with me. And you think about that, and there's just no explaining it. How do you explain it? She's going with you. My wife is just laughing over there because she knows that's how I felt every time I was around her, and still to this day. Yeah. And when there's no explaining that wonderful thing that's happened in your life, you just do this. You just say, okay, God, I don't know where this came from, but I'll take it. There are good things that happen in your life that you can't explain. You don't have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. There are difficult things in your life that you can't explain as well. The doctor comes into the waiting room after the surgery, and you can just read it on his face. And as he begins to explain what has happened, you're just like, God, how does this happen? How do you allow this to happen, God? What am I supposed to do with this? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And you wrestle with it. You cry. You fight with it. You grieve. And you don't have the answer. You don't have to. You don't have to. And in the end, and many of you have been through this and you've done this. In the end, you simply look to God and say, I trust you, God. I don't get it. But I trust you because I know the alternative is to have a heart filled with anger and resentment and despair, and I don't want to live with that. I trust you. So there are difficult things that happen in your life, and you can't explain them, and you don't have the answers. You don't have to have the answers. There are times in your life that someone will present to you a challenge of your core beliefs. It might be a professor. It might be a Cajun cook. It might be the clerk at the checkout. And you won't have a comeback. And you'll go home and you still won't have a comeback. I can remember when I was a little boy, I was watching an atheist on some afternoon talk show, probably. Might have been Donahue. Man, you got to have a white beard to know who that is. And he's got this atheist on there, and the atheist is just running his mouth, and he's got good arguments, and I can't think of a thing, because I'm just a little boy. I can't think of a thing to counter those arguments. But I thought to my little boy self, I thought, man, if my pastor was there, he could put that guy in his place. Well, today I am that pastor, right? And I'll be honest. There are people who ask questions for which I have an answer that is simply not satisfactory. At least not to them. At least not to me. But they don't have an answer either. You know that, right? They don't have an answer either. So what do? I admit, I don't have the answer. What are you going to do as you move forward in life and a professor or someone else makes a point that challenges your core beliefs and you just don't have the answer? Here's what I would suggest. Talk to God. I would suggest going to God with honesty and say, God, I don't have an answer for that. I wish you would give me one, but I don't have an answer for that. But I know from what I have experienced and from what I have learned and what I have seen, I know that you don't just have the answer. I believe that you are the answer, and my faith is not swayed just because I don't have the answer. Admit you don't have the answer. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You see, God never asked you to figure it all out. He didn't ask you to carry the weight of every unknown and solve every problem. He simply said two words, trust me. Trust me. He's not looking for you to have all the answers. He's looking for you to have him, the one who is the answer, and to trust him. Trust him. So yeah, don't set your OS for automatic updates. Consider the source. Do they really know what they're talking about? And do the math. Consider the outcome. As you move forward, God will lead you. Ask him to lead you. Your Bible's still open, right? Look at verse 6. Seek his will in all you do. He will show you which path to take. That would be a good thing to do. Seek his will in all you do would be a good thing to do when you're walking to school or when you're riding to school, whether in a car, a truck, or on a bus. Just pray. Pray a prayer like this one. Say, God, as I start this day, show me which paths to take. Help me see the wise choices and help me make them. You don't have to close your eyes to pray that kind of prayer. You can be sitting on a school bus there and just looking around at the other students or as the highway going by and say, just in the silence of your heart, God, as I start this day, show me which paths to take. Help me to see the wise choices. Help me to make them. You can pray that with your eyes open. Don't have to be close. If you're driving, please pray that with your eyes open. All right? Yeah. Simply pray that he'll do this for you and he'll do it. Ask God to lead you and stay away from the evil that's presented. Again, look at verse 7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you'll have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Whether you're headed to school or headed to work or headed to college or headed home, there are unwise choices you can make along that path that will turn you to evil. So maybe the prayer to pray in that case is one that was modeled for us by Jesus. Maybe it goes like this. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Don't just speak those words at the start of the day. Speak those words throughout the day. Finished with this class, going to that class. Thank you, God, for what I got in this class. Lead me not into temptation, God. Deliver me from evil as I go to the next one. And third, as you move forward in life, honor him with what you have. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. A lot of people see that as applying to what you give to the Lord, specifically financially. And often that verse is applied to your tithe, your offerings, whatever you give. That's a good application, but notice something. Look at verse 9 again. Do you see the word everything there? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best of everything you produce. So as you head to school, commit every part of yourself to God and ask him to use you, every part of who you are, to honor him. So if you're going to school, don't forget your gym clothes. Don't forget your Chromebook. Don't forget your project. Don't forget your lunch. Your lunch is right there. Would you get your lunch? And don't forget what you've learned of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So I'm going to pray. Actually. Oh, man. I want someone else to pray. I want Drew Stoddart to pray. Specifically for students, whether you're homeschooled because you're being formed everywhere you are, or you're going to public school, or you're going to a Christian school, or you're going to college or going to trade school, or you're just taking a class online, I'm going to ask Drew to just pray for students in general. So Drew, you can come to this mic if you want to do that. And if you're a student, I'm not going to ask you to get up here or anything, but if you're a student from preschool till, I don't know, if you're repeating your last year of college so you can get that calculus class done, if you're a student, I'd like you just to stand where you are. Could you do that, please, students? Yeah. Now, I'd like everybody to do the rubberneck thing. Look around and look at these students. Wow. Let me tell you something. We value you here at Kerwinsville Alliance, all of you. We pray for you all the time. we think of how you're being formed and the temptations that you deal with that weren't even around when some of us were in school. We had temptations. They were just different ones. We see the world you're growing up in, and we see hope in Christ in what he can do through you and people like you. We're not just praying. Drew's not going to just pray that you're protected from evil, but he's going to pray that you will follow God's path. And that as you show the light of Christ, lives will be formed from your action within them. So let's all remain where we are. You guys remain standing. And Drew, would you please lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts for all the students in this church. And God, I pray, as they enter into this next stage of their future, that your hand of blessing would be upon them. And God, I pray that you would be evident in their interactions with the world. I pray that as differing ideas come through their mind, as situations face them in their daily pursuits, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct their hearts and their minds into truth. I pray that they would be strengthened in heart and in spirit to not be ashamed of your gospel or the truth that you've shown through your Son Jesus. And I pray that their relationships with you would grow in this new school year. I pray that they would be able to be lights in the darkness. And I pray that you would help them as they maneuver different ideas, different conversations, different types of people, that they can continue to reflect who they are in Christ. God, I pray your hand of blessing and protection over each and every one of them and over their just educational process, learning what is right, what is good, what is helpful for their future, Lord, and doing it while they learn about who you are and how you love them. God, we pray that everything this year would be blessed of you and that your hand would be with them. You would lead, guide, and direct them. Help them as only you can. Give them wisdom. Help them to cling to truth. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.